Yes, to present the project entitled Using Information, Education and Communication to Improve Drug Adherence Among WBAC Malaria Patients in Northern Thailand. And first of all, I would like to introduce you to know the burden of malaria in the year 2006. As you know, malaria is endemic in tropical countries, especially in Africa and Papua New Guinea, where the incidence rates were higher than 200 per 1,000 population in the year 2006. And the burden of malaria in Southeast Asia, Plasmodium vivax is the predominant agent in this region. And since the WHO reported in the year 2006, malaria vivax has been increasing in many parts of Southeast Asia. Most of transmission areas occur along international border due to population movement and malaria vectors habitats. And the socioeconomic culture and poverty were factors associated with malaria. And also belief and practice to prevent malaria among risky people are very difficult to change. In Thailand, malaria also occurs on international border, particularly in the northern part, which is highly endemic areas. Since the year 2003, Plasmodium vivax has been increasing in the northern part of the country. And from our retrospective study, we found that 76% of the 206 patients with WBAC malaria did not complete their medication for 14 days. The crucial factors associated with drug adherence were knowledge about malaria and access to information regarding the disease and its treatment. And they neglect to follow up after they finished after the 14-day course of malaria treatment, and that would be increasing the cost of public health services and treatment. Therefore, the objective of this study was to educate the patient with WBAC malaria on the knowledge of malaria and drug adherence by using information, education, and communication program with simple health messages in Mueang District, Mang Son Province, Northern Thailand. This slide shows Mang Son Province in bird's eye view, that this province along international border is close to Myanmar. And this is a beautiful location surrounded by mountains. This is a small town having airport and tourist attraction and the night market. The method of this study: this research is a quasi-experimental study to compare between the two groups of intervention group in Mueang District, where O1 represents an observation before intervention, and O2 is for post-observation after intervention. O3 and O4 represent the control group in the same manner, but receive regularly service program. The study sites in Mueang District are in the yellow label, had 9 malaria clinics that we recruited 142 WBAC malaria patients and were selected as intervention area. The control area is Maseliang District. In the red label, consisting 3 malaria clinics, we recruited 117 WBAC malaria patients, and we selected those sites because of similar setting characteristics and high incidence of WBAC cases, and people are from the ethnic groups. A picture showing one of malaria clinics in the study site. This is the smallest unit built by community to serve the people living in a village where it's far away from the government health services. For the IEC program, we posted this chart to instruct participating patients to know the step of blood examination when WBAC infection was found, and they were informed the consent form and interview for pre-testing. And then the patient attend the IEC program for 20 minutes. After that, the patient received medication before going to rest at home, and they were instructed to come back on the day after complete their medication course. We tailor IEC materials to different patient aid groups based on the previous results. These are posters displayed on the wall in the instruction room at the malaria clinic. on your left is a poster for age 3 to 7 years old, and the middle blue one is for age 8 to 13 years old, and the right one for the age group above 14 years. The poster display YVAC Maria Life Cycle diagram instructing for drug taking from day 1 until day 14, that to complete the treatment course of VIVAC malaria. This is the flip chart standing on the table when a malaria officer teaching the patient in the detail of malaria life cycle, malaria symptom, but examination, and how to take medicine correctly, and how to solve when having side effects from the taking medicine. And the last chart instructing the appointment date for blood checking. And we produce the pamphlet into three languages, in Thai, Thai Yai, and Kalen language, having T4 and 2 sides. All pamphlets were produced for three different age groups as the poster. And the patient will take it back home to learn about malaria and how to take medicine correctly. This is a pamphlet for 8 to 13 years old and 3 to 7 years old. We produce only in Thai. This slide shows all IEC material display at malaria clinic. And we also produce duck bags, are newly designed for instruction how to take medicine correctly. The bag made of paper in square shape, which the font size has a flip to open. It has a label of name and date of starting drug taking, and the date of completion with the date of appointment for blood rechecking. On the back side, display the step of drug taking day by day, start from day 1 to day until day 14. This diagram shows tablet of the medicine with color similar to chloroquine and primaquine tablets. All IEC materials were tested outside the study and to be revised 3 times. In order to improve upon the user friendliness, message comprehensive, variety, reliability, and acceptance among VIVAC malaria patient as a user and malaria officer as a healthcare provider before application into the study setting. The data collection consists of 2 methods. The first one is a quantitative method using a structured questionnaire interview the patient at the pretest in both groups, and a post-test questionnaire to interview when they return to the clinic for blood recheck after day 14. The second method is a qualitative data. We use a qualitative focus group discussion that split it into group of patients in the 2 settings and group of malaria officers. Each group we recruited 8 to 10 participants to discuss approximately 1 hour. We analyze the data by using Stata software program for descriptive analysis to obtain frequency, mean, standard deviation, and percentage. For inferential statistics to explain the relationship between variable, we use chi-square test, Petty test, and Sudenti test. The qualitative data analysis using a deductive method. We interpreted the data from wording and understanding and then translated into text. The result of the study. The participants of 142 patients in the intervention group and 117 in the control group were recruited from VIVAC patients who visited the malaria clinic between March and September in the year 2007. We found that there were no significant difference between both groups in terms of age, marital status, ethnicity, educational level, main occupation, family size, and most of the patients in both groups never had malaria within the past year. However, the control group had a higher proportion of males than the intervention group, and the control group generally earned more income. After returning to the clinic, we found that 71% of the patients in intervention group completed their prescribed anti-malarian treatment, while 30% of the patients in the control group adhere to the treatment. In this study, VIVAC malaria patients have been categorized as adherent if they take 2,050 mg of chloroquine within 3 days and primaquine 15 mg per day for 14 days. When we compare the level of knowledge about malaria in both groups that we categorize into three levels, range from 0 to 15, after the intervention, the patient increased knowledge level significantly better than before the intervention, and the control group did not. The perception of malaria treatment at the beginning of the study, the majority of all patients in both groups had a moderate level of the perception, and they were not significantly different between the groups. However, after implementation, the mean score of the intervention groups was significantly higher than that of the control group. For self-efficacy to perform adherence to anti-malaria medication, we only did after implementation. It was found that the intervention group had higher level of self-efficacy, while the control group had moderate level, and the mean self-efficacy score of the intervention group was significantly higher than that of the control group. And the service satisfaction was also collected after the implementation program, and the mean service satisfaction score of the intervention group was significantly higher than that of the control group. And when we assess the patient satisfaction toward IEC material as seen in this slide, allow 98% of VIVAC malaria patients in the intervention group were satisfied with the new design drug bags, and 84% of them preferred the flip chart. In conclusion and discussion, before the implementation, drug adherence among VIVAC malaria patients was a problem. And after implementation, the IEC program by using fairly tailored IEC materials will significantly increase knowledge, perception, and drug adherence to anti-malarian medication among VIVAC malaria patients. Especially newly designed drug bag was an important role to instruct the patient follow their prescribed. In our recommendation, all IEC materials should be widely disseminated in all malaria clinics in Thailand, and tailored health education intervention are recognized to be the most effective intervention, not only to improve the participant knowledge, attitude, and belief, but also their behaviors. And from the result of this study, the government should support IEC packages in all malaria clinics where VIVAC malaria is endemic. And we would like to thank the Royal Golden Jubilee PhD Program Thailand Research Fund for supporting this study. That's all of my presentation. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you very much, Nadlada, and sorry for stepping out. Lesson learned here, don't drink coffee during 1.5 hour sessions. That was a great presentation, very well done, very impressive pictures. Why don't we open it up for questions? Please have a seat. And who wants to go? Oh, we had one question you asked earlier. Why don't we start with that?
Concerned with the household spending more of their available income on medication, making sure, how does the project make sure that you're not getting into this counterfeit problem that's so prevalent in Africa?
That's a really good question. And we do know that there is a problem with that in Rwanda based on the fact that the Rwandan Ministry of Health has actually started cracking down on shutting down those back-end farm shops, I guess, and their the unofficial pharmacies. And so that has clearly been an issue in Rwanda, and that's something that needs to be looked at further. Unfortunately, with the national health accounts, with the malaria framework, it's not something that we look at a breakdown by the specific drugs, because really, if a household is spending on a drug that they perceive to be a malaria drug, whether or not it's it has efficacy or not, that's still malaria spending. We consider that malaria spending, so it's included, the amount that they're spending is included in this total spending, but it's not necessarily broken down. That would probably require a more specific study.
I just was worried that the good work that you've done, if it turns out that they're spending their money on drugs that don't work, that could eventually impact the program, where people say, well, I'm not spending money on drugs if they don't work. You know, you need the efficacy coupled with what you've done to, and hopefully the government will be doing that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I agree.
Is that a problem in Thailand or in Tanzania as well, fake drugs?
I can speak directly to that. I'm quite certain it is, but that's just conjecture.
Oh, okay.
But in fact, I'm not involved in this financier.
Okay. Okay, let's get some other questions. Yes, please.
Concerning the Tanzania scheme, in terms of your measures, if you went into a house, obviously, of course, you're concerned about the women using the vouchers or not, if they have them, but did you also determine what percentage of pregnant women either never went to antenatal care when they could get the voucher, or went to antenatal care and were not given the voucher? So in other words, these were co-eligible people who never had a chance to have an advantage.
Yeah, a great point. Those are two important ones, particularly are the women getting vouchers who need them? And there are parts of the study, of the complete survey, which do address that. I'm less familiar with that part of the household survey. I think it's pretty high, even in remote areas. The Tanzanian public health system has done a pretty good job to get those antenatal clinics accessible to a lot of folks across the country. The first part of your question, I forget.
Well, were there women who, I mean, I know attendance is high, but maybe were there any women who did not even go to get antenatal care where they could have gotten these services? And then secondly, you know, just with some other things, there could have been people out of the clinics, could have been out of vouchers and didn't give them something.
Sure. Yeah, it is in the complete survey, not in my study, but there are some data there. I think it's pretty high, though, but I can't give you numbers off the top of my head.
Another question?
One more question about price. Now, did you just use the voucher for the cost and the top up that the woman had to pay? Or do you include other aspects of price, any amount that she might have paid? That's a pay to get to the retailer. What was your price composed of?
Well, the price is just composed of that district-wide average that the woman had to pay in the form of a top-up. So there are certainly inherent costs with, say, travel. There are inherent costs with the time that it takes to get to those clinics. There are a few indicators in the survey that did that, and then we felt confident enough to include in the model. So ideally, that could be part of the study, but we just think we're comfortable about those other measures.
Those are definitely costs involved in the purchase of the net, which should be accounted for in the perfect. Okay. Any other questions? No issues whatsoever? Well, I actually had one. In Thailand, when you had the focus group, what did the patients tell you about why they weren't adhering to the treatment? What were the main reasons, and how did the IENC campaign counteract that?
Well, in Thailand, we never had IEC program in the malaria clinic, and for the treatment of malaria in Thailand, we give all of the patients free, no need to pay. for the treatment. So the patient told me that they always, because of the cost of medicine, around 14 days. So when they take around two or three days, they feel better. And that one day, they don't want to take anymore. And something that when they take the medicine, they have a side effect of the chloroquine, and then they want to stop. And after that, they they got the malaria again. So, and I see a campaign occur because of, you know, that the problem is they don't want to take aspirin and they don't understand how to take medicine because of we separate into the chloroquine into three days mm-hmm. and different costs in each meal. So they don't understand. So we conduct the IEC to encourage them to know how to take the medicine day by day and by meal. So if they understand that one, they can adhere to the treatment.
Okay. Please.
Is it just Vivax malaria in that area that you study, or are there other forms of malaria that So all they did in this study is look at the Vivax study. So they screened it first with the blood smears.
Good question. Yep.
Actually, that treatment regimen will suppress the precalcium.
Any other questions? I had another one, and that was related to the small elasticities of price and income. Wouldn't that argue for free distribution of nets rather than trying to play with these different pricing schemes and vouchers?
Yeah, it could on one hand. The only thing I would argue is if we're already really close to zero in terms of the subsidies, the subsidized price, and then what I think my study would justify is that taking that price from the top of the 50 cents down to zero is not going to have a whole lot of impact in terms of actual household uptake. Because taking the price from 50 cents to zero implies very small gains because of the small price elasticity. Certainly, a person takes it, if you give that to them, but they're not willing to use it necessarily since that price elasticity is so small. They're not willing to pay for it and have much of an impact by reducing the price. But there is one important caveat there. That's not to say the subsidy does not have an impact taking the price from $4 down to 50 cents. I think that's a different measure. In fact, the second paper that I'm working on, but that I think that price elasticity is going to be much different, much larger. This is only the subsidized, looking at that elasticity at the subsidized price level, to say 50 cent top up if the woman has to pay.
I think this is what you're saying, but I think you could argue quite the opposite, that the lower elasticity suggests that you could actually lower the subsidy and have people pay more and not necessarily see a big decrease in demand.
Say that again so I'm clear.
Said it would suggest that elasticity is low, and if it remains low going the other direction, it could argue that your subsidy may be higher than it needs to be.
But that was not tested, right? I mean, we
right, this is not looking at...
It was just the opposite, that you actually increase the subsidy and decrease the contribution.
Well, the direction would be both ways.
Yeah.
It's just the important caveat is it's only looking at... I can't talk about a price of $4 and then talk about the elasticity there. Yeah. This is only within that small range of plus or minus to that the current subsidized price.
The other surprising finding I found was that female-headed households actually were more likely to buy, which is sort of contrary to what we find in a lot of studies, that female-headed households seem to be worse off socioeconomically than male-headed households. Any reasons why that turned up that way?
Well, I think one important point to make there is it's just that that's only the marginal effect of that. Since we're doing it in a multiple regression model, it pulls out the impact of that female-headed household. Certainly, mm-hmm. if you do lump female-headed households all together, on average, they will have a lower socioeconomic status.
Yeah.
But because the regression model is able to account for all of that, it's a is saying only the comparing two like households except for the female male manner. All things being equal, the female would have a higher probability.
Yeah. Of true.
I have a question on the female head of household. I know in the, among the Tutsis, which I mispronounce it horribly, the male head of household, when the president says how money will be spent, there is no male head of household, then the female says how the money is spent. Does that hold across other tribes, or other regions, Tanzania, Austin? Would that be a factor?
I couldn't answer that. I don't think. I'm not going to notice. No, it depends on the cultural
background. Does anybody here have any experience that? I mean, it doesn't have just to be the panel to answer the question that we can't. Anybody wants to?
I would just say that, I mean, in general, I think you find that when women argue, then control of household finances, they do make decisions that invest in their children.
Any other comment, any other question? Otherwise, I think we can wrap it up. Let me thank very much the panel for giving excellent presentations and especially keeping within the time, which we always try to leave enough room for discussions. And thank you everybody here who came this afternoon. Enjoy the rest of the conference. So maybe we see each other in some other sessions. Have a good day. Thank you, Jenna.
Nice
to meet you. Thank you, Chris. Thank you. We'll take about 10, 15 minutes, I would say.
That if they found the urine, sure. Back urine, they should be come to see the doctor to stop and come to see the doctor at the hospital.
Wow.
Yeah.
After the fact, you get treatment regardless, then test later.
No. We don't have a test for the CPD at the first.
Yeah.
So we just give the medicine to them because we found that the CPD in the doctor's heart area is very few.
Yeah.
We can find the CPD in our group.
Yeah.
So, but we told them, we teach them that if they found the urine, back urine, they should be go straight to hospital.
Hospital right away.
Yeah.
Anybody died at all?
No.
During this?
Never.
Okay. And how about the children or men or people over Christmas reaction from the mice?
Sure.
It's
tomorrow morning, so I'm just wondering whether
it's very easy actually. You have to go through a few things to do actually when you
I see, so you don't have that problem. I see. Very good.
Thank you.
Good
study. Oh, you know.